Last time on Roseville Beach. I think there's a fucked up dog in here.
As you're thinking about this, you look right back to the figurine and it sort of strikes in your mind. It's a salamander.
What do you call yourself, little one? Or what did Mama call you?
Ah, shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I feel like Gabriella is not the only one who is ruining everything when they walk into places.
Danger, in danger, Mama in danger, don't know what.
Bobby Johnson. Roseville Beach's cryptid hunter.
It has imprinted on you, Gabriella. It thinks you're its mother.
But the second that he said knowledge is a double-edged dagger, Alix just like started like rubbing her collarbone, like really like absent-mindedly.
I have been following a string of arson cases that have broken out all over Roseville Beach. I bet you could help me figure that out.
Mysterious light shine along the ocean bay. Hard to resist the thrills upon the summer haze. Together on the beach we'll turn the night to day. Adventures on the beach, so come along. To play, monsters hide, but they won't stay. Roseville Beach with the gang that they found will turn this town right back around. Lou knows there's no broken thing that she can't fix.
Who else? At your service.
Magic that comes from lost powers, the witch Alix.
Hi, I'm Alix.
Arian's quest for love includes some fishy tricks.
Hi, I'm Arian.
Together, these three will surely have you transfixed. Roseville Beach, the ghosts like to play. Monsters hide, but they won't stay.
Welcome back to Roseville Beach. It is another nice, bright, sunny day. After the chaos of last week, we've all taken some time to relax because Roseville Beach never stays quiet for long, whether that's fun activities or mysteries that need to be solved. But today, we're lucky enough to have a chance to unwind. The Clinsdale Coffee Shop is hosting a new art gallery that Arian, you are particularly interested in. Odie, or at least the man you've affectionately named Odysseus, they are holding, or they're at least hosting, a whole art show there. A lot of paintings that they've made and their friends have made. They have saved up enough money, they have come together as a community, and they are hosting their art here. And it's in partnership with the coffee shop. We've all kind of come here to check it out and see what's going on. It's a little strange. It's buzzing with activity, but everyone feels maybe just a little too fake. People are genuinely interested, but they're not really talking about the art. The things they talk about are superficial. There's no real understanding of it. They don't see past the paintings. Besides the art gallery, there are several other artifacts, several other kind of cool paintings and cool art pieces that have been collected over time. And as you approach, right outside, there is a group of people who stop you on the street and actually try to push something into your hands, a flyer of sorts. And one is holding a flyer, one's holding a clipboard, and they approach both of you and they say, excuse me, do you have a moment to talk about the injustices that the Clinsdale Coffee Shop is committing?
Arian, this whole time walking up the sidewalk, has been daydreaming about interacting with Odysseus, the things he would say, the outfit that Arian is wearing is so carefully picked out, these gorgeous little accessories. There's clearly a sheen to Arian's hair that's almost like sea slicked, kind of like windswept look that one would have at the beach. And as he is wistfully walking down the sidewalk, mumbling to himself, "My Odysseus, an artist. Of course he is. Of course he is." Gets interrupted by this. And is like, huh? What? Excuse me?
And I think at this point, they've already put the flyer into your hand. And you can look down, and it's this, honestly, propaganda piece about how all of the art in the Clinsdale coffee shop is stolen.
How so? Is there a little info box that tells me why they're stolen?
It's like a little political cartoon, and it shows people literally like stealing from artists and giving them nothing and then turning around and selling it for major profit. What they're giving them is exposure, and they're profiting massive amounts of money off of it.
Arian is like sees this graphic, and have they left already? The folks who have shoved this into my hand?
The one who's handing out flyers, absolutely. They're like making sure everyone who enters does not enter without a flyer. But there's one person who the thoughts in your mind have sort of like muddled their words, you know, as you were daydreaming about Odie, but they've sort of turned a clipboard around to you and they've put a pen in your hand and they say, will you sign?
Forgive me. First of all, I just arrived to this whole thing. What does this mean? A stolen art? Are the artists here that are being featured being stolen from this and given this exposure? What is being exposed here?
The people who are featured in here are having their art unjustly resold. And in fact, some of them, and they like point out several pieces on their clipboard, you know, line A, line B, line C, all the way to like line F, describe which ones were just completely taken from groups throughout history without their consent. And this petition is to sort of seize that artwork and give it back to those people.
Would Arian's understanding be that Odysseus has been stolen from, or that Odysseus is committing the stealing? This distinction is very, very important to how I react to this person.
What's your experience with art?
I think in Arian's mind, art is... his exposure is the Greeks, right? The way the Greeks have done art. And there is this sort of like grandness to it. There's a sweetness and a great attachment to like art and how it endures through history. It is the artists, the writers, the storytellers that we celebrate even centuries on out. So that's how Arian feels like that. I don't think Arian is super well informed on like the process and bureaucracy of exhibiting art or things like for Arian, it's instinctual. Art is art, and that's some of the most beautiful things about humanity is that you make art and you intentionally make art constantly.
You probably are familiar with the idea of like artists in residence, you know, people who make art and don't necessarily profit off of it. It's just something that it's what they do, right? It's their life. They are taken care of, but it's not like they're given financial gain for it. And also, like, a lot of Greek art has been taken over time away from the people who originally owned it and has been used in other places. So this is a question only you can answer, Arian.
Arian sees this pen and this sheet of paper and knows better as a mythical creature from the deep than to just assign things without fully knowing what's going on. Smiles really, really sweetly and just says, how do you all say it? Do some digging. Thank you for this. And shakes a little pamphlet with this like bright little smile and like daintily folds it and shoves it in a tiny little satchel that he's carrying and trot in.
Excuse me. You really should, as they trail off, right? Alex. What is your experience approaching this gallery? Seeing sort of the same people and the same sort of petition going on.
I know that Alex has like the most counterculture hippie vibe, but also what the fuck do these people think they're doing? Like, it's a coffee shop. They know shit. So as soon as she sees them out there, she is going to, like, fuck. And then, like, try to get into the coffee shop anywhere but the front door. If she can get in the back door, she will do that. If there is a window, she will do that. She will do anything to avoid having to interact with these people who she just doesn't want to deal with right now.
They are persistent. They are really on the watch. I mean, it's not just the two of them, right? The two of them are the ones that interacted with Ariane, but they are posted. This is a big show that is being done, and there's a lot of attractions, there's a lot of influx of people coming to the coffee shop today. So this is their campaign. They're not leaving until they get all of their signatures. So you're going to have to roll to avoid them. Probably, honestly, just goal.
2, I'm going to take a trouble die. And that is a 4, so that is much better. 2 in trouble, why not?
You are able to find a back door to slip in through, and this leads through the kitchen. People, they're busy. I mean, they are busy here. They are catering. There's people going in with platters, out with platters, popping dishes into the sink, washing them. It's a fine-tuned machine that nobody really notices you. As you slip out of the kitchen into the art gallery, you get a chill down your spine, and it's a familiar feeling. You lock eyes across the room with a painting, and it can only be one person. This image can only be one creature. Alix, this is the person who taught you magic. Even just their image carries the weight of their power. Please describe what they look like.
She looks a lot younger than she actually is. She spent a very long time practicing and growing her own power. And there's a lot that she was very coy or closed off with in regards to different parts of her own past. She kept her hair long and it was dark. Fell down halfway down her back. She had bright green eyes, the kind that you almost would sometimes think were blue. They would even sometimes like show red, depending. She always would dress like she came from somewhere that was warmer. Like cold bothered her more than heat did. She had a smattering of freckles across her face, like she'd seen the sun a lot. And Alix remembers when she first met her that her skin was like recently tanned, like she had been out more often. Over time, it faded a little bit, but not so much. She was always that kind of, like, tan tones. When she would smile, there were two different smiles. There was one that she could smile that had her whole face and her eyes in it, and it's the one that Alix loved the most. And then there was the one that only was the teeth. And anyone who didn't know her wouldn't notice, but Alix would. And those were maybe the first times that Alix was afraid of her. And it's been not long enough for her to see that again, because in a painting, you can't reflect the warmth. It's not possible. Anyone who would have painted it would have to know what that looks like, and even if she painted it herself by some means, she couldn't see it in her own eyes. It's been too long, and somehow not long enough for Alix to sneak in through a crowded kitchen to just avoid some intense shits and instead be met with the face of Estelle Queen.
Do you approach the painting?
No, absolutely not. She's going to stare at it from where she is, and she's sort of like waiting for it to move.
Will you make a roll for me? Clues, I think scares, and goal to keep your wits about you.
I'm not injured or scared. Sorcery background?
Yeah.
Doubt any of the other social ones are going to matter. Is this a golden opportunity?
Actually, I think, yeah. I think this is a golden opportunity to prove to yourself that you can resist, that you can stand up.
So that is a fail in goal, fail in scared, fail in clued, and another 3 in troubles. That is straight 3s.
What is the last thing that she said to you?
The last thing that would have happened would have been whatever the price that Alix would have had to pay would be, and she would have left immediately. And I think you might know that better than I do.
I think the scare here is honestly very simple. It's very real. It's very threatening. Your due has come. As you feel all, and I mean all, of her power in this painting. The warmth that you describe that can't be captured in a painting, it's in the paint. It's in the brushstroke. It's in the way that they captured her smile. Your eyes drift down to see that this was painted by a Roseville regular. Somebody who actually has quite a few paintings in the gallery today. Ariane, as you have entered, it's a party. It's festive. There's food. It's free. There's drinks. It's free. Everything has been paid for to show off the new talent on Roseville Beach. And there's a few artists here, but you know that Odie is supposed to be here.
And Arian's heart is aflutter. Picks up a like mug of tea that he like nurses in his hands, and a couple of like this cafe's, this coffee house's like signature cookies and stuff. Arian is in a different genre of movie than Alex is right now. Alex is coming out of a horror movie. Arian's in a rom-com, and it's just like, this is it. This is the day I don't make a fool of myself. This is the day I like stand appropriately and I introduce myself to Odysseus properly, and we can start getting the ball rolling. And there's a moment, I think, where Arian is just like, oh my goodness, this is so many paintings. Isn't that Alex? 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 They're always wandering off somewhere. And I'm going to, very cool, very normal, go up to each of the different paintings. And I'm going to look like a normal human patron that is patronizing the arts. But I'm looking for Odysseus's.
You begin shuffling around, mimicking everyone else. You have a drink, you have some snacks, and you are looking at the paintings, and you are making the same kind of judgments about them with the flyer in your back pocket, too. And you realize you're not going to be able to find Odysseus's art. You don't know Odysseus's name. You would have to find it based off of the art and seeing through it to see what they have painted.
Arian is like looking through all the little placards at the bottom of pieces, absentmindedly in his mind's eye, is just going, Odysseus, 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 and then realizes no one here has Greek names, because no one here is from the time that he is most familiar with, and Odysseus is an affectionate nickname that he had given, because he does not know Odysseus's name, only what he looks like.
You shuffle from placard to placard to placard, and you eventually make your way past the art gallery into the rest of them, so focused on the placards, trying to find a Greek name, and you stop on something. It's not a name, it's a description. It's a little plaque that says, this artifact was dredged up from the bottom of the bay. We're unable to date it, but it is clearly of ancient origin. And when you look up, it is a piece of pottery. The lid has been broken and snapped off. The images on it faded away. But this is clearly something very old. It's been worn away, roughed down by the waves. The actual sort of clay that it's made of has been damaged by the salt water. There's even like scratch marks from things like crustaceans that have just like clawed away at it. That's when you notice this whole section of weird artwork. This art is strange. This art is unusual. For lack of a better word, magical. And you recognize this as one of the items on the petition to return.
Arian approaches this and like places his face so close to the artifact and just peers and looks over at this and like tilts his head and thinks to himself, oh, that reminds me of home. And then looks at all of these other artifacts and strange paintings and thinking again of this flyer in the back pocket about these needing to be returned. And you said it felt magical, right? So may I use my siren song to be able to get a feel for this magic, almost like get a frequency of it.
What word of power are you using for this?
I'm using boon. I'm trying to see if these grant anything. Typical thing with artifacts, right, is that they grant something. So that's the assumption that Arian is working from, is that if this is a magical, it'll grant me something, or someone something.
And if this is connected to your nature as a stranger to Roseville Beach, you actually have a special ability. Once per session, you don't have to roll magic, as long as you're not trying to harm someone. Describe what it looks like when you call upon this word of power to investigate if these items have boons.
Arian twirls his like wavy hair, like tucks it behind his ear, and begins to hum different notes, and it's like like a piano tuner finding the right tune. He's hitting the same note and then going up, 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 and then back down to make sure that the melody is correct. And that is what he's doing, as he's like very, very elegantly, like maybe even tracing his hand on some of the tables that these artifacts are on, taking like a once over in the room. And there's a moment where like his eyes glitter a little unnaturally, like a siren's would. It's almost this alluring, seductive hum to convince, to charm, tease the boon out of these artifacts, like they are hidden secrets, a pearl within an oyster.
You prod, you convince, you tease the magic out of these items. The artifact in front of you, the shattered piece of pottery that has sort of been replaced together, at one time held a boon. It held some sort of magic that it granted at some point, but it has been long gone. There's no way of being able to track or trace how long it's been, but it's reasonable to assume if it was shattered on the ocean floor, it was opened then and used a millennia ago. The rest of the artifacts, they have a distinctly different feeling to them. It's not a boon necessarily, but it is like a magical signature. It's love. Love has been poured into these paintings by people who work magic. The art in the back of the Glensdale coffee shop is made almost exclusively by witches from around the world. And we shift our camera back to Alix, as you are still locked in this moment. This singular moment, almost everything sort of fades to the side as your vision tunnels to just the painting. And as Arian begins to tease the magic out of things, the magic in the painting, the essence of your mentor, begins to wake up.
Anyone who can see Alix right now would see her doing two things. One hand is in one of the large pockets on her cargoes. She's like feeling the unmarked brass coin that she keeps in there. And the other one is rubbing at the choker on her throat, like running her thumb over it, just like right on the front of her neck. It's getting stronger?
It's not that it's getting stronger. It's that it's like being invited. Invited out. Invited to show its face.
I'm going to use sorcery to stop it. The edge of the coin is like digging into the side of her thumb as she's like running her hand along it. She's going to try and like freeze whatever is going on via bind.
Magic, goal, scares, and we'll throw a clue in there too.
Does my scare inhibit my magic?
Yeah.
Gonna make up for it by using all three of my words of power. It is bind to stop it, call because I know the source of it, and bane because I know the source of it and know how to bend it.
It's a special place if you approach close enough to touch it.
I'm gonna use a five on magic. That works the way I want it to. 665, so successes across the board. You asked me what was the last thing that she said to Alix, and I, Dan, don't know that. You know that. I do know what the last thing Alix said to her was. As she approaches the painting and grabs the outside edges of it and just locks eyes with the portrait itself. You see the light, the way that light, that her spells work is when they like extends out from her and the light bends around her. You see it encompass now the outside frame of the painting and you watch it expand before snapping in. And the painting itself doesn't change. Nothing about the painting itself changes, but all of that energy that is going around goes from its rectangular outers down into the center where it collapses, and whatever energy was there has vanished and has gotten sucked into back into the inks and cannot come out. And as she is gripping the side of the painting and charging it, she like finishes the longer incantation with all three words of power in it and says the exact same thing she said before she left. Goodbye, love.
This is a really hip coffee shop art gallery. It's got a second floor with like an open spot. That's where Arion has sort of wandered off to. And you hear this yelp as somebody has just backed themselves up against the balcony. And they've caught themselves. They're right above you. You lock eyes with them. And they turn back around and they run away. Arion, first of all, the wave Alex has just put out has definitely stopped it. But just before it did, there was a boon that was accessed from that person. And the painting in front of them is different. Once just a scenic view of the ocean, it has a single sort of rocky shore island, now has somebody walking on the beach. It is a still image of something that wasn't there before, painted on top of this oil painting.
What sound does your magic make?
Like a whine, like this kind of like pitch that just sort of like extends like it's an engine. If you hear it at all, which most people probably wouldn't.
Burdened by being a siren, and Arian reacts and is like, that's very Alex. Something's happening. And then I see that. And Arian, once again, peers his head closer to this person that's in the painting.
The painting here is almost like a period piece. It's from Roswell Beach, imagined in a different time, before there was anybody living here. But the person in there is in modern clothing. They're wearing jeans. They have sort of rolled up their jeans to walk on the sand. They have like a very, I don't want to say modern cut, but this person has like brown hair that kind of goes just almost to their shoulders. This is none other than your housemate, Lou, trapped in this painting.
Alex!
Alex has been, like, after closing it, she's just been kind of, like, leaning up against the wall on the frame, like, just full weight on her hands and just, like, looking through the top of her eyes at the still painting now, back to being, like, cold and lifeless. And, like, she's just staring at it when she hears that. At first, she, like, starts back from the painting. Fuck.
Literally, these two paintings are on top of each other. There's an open balcony. You could look over and see each other.
Arian is like hovering over the balcony and it's just like, I do not know what you have just done.
Me?
It's your magic, I felt.
That was...
Lose in the painting! Lose in the painting!
You say that and she looks back at the one that's right behind her and she is scouring the background for it instantly, like fucking horrified.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl. In a special Gertrude world, happy birthday, happy birthday! I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
This January on Kickstarter, from MythWorks, the publisher behind The Wild Sea, Under the Autumn Strangely, and Decuma, comes a new TTRPG from the minds of Sam Carr, Rob Lee, and Felix Isaacs, The Eternal Ruins. The Eternal Ruins is a fantasy world-building project that began as YouTube videos and illustrations and has now evolved into a tabletop role-playing game. The Eternal Ruins themselves are a vast and endless collection of corridors, chasms, towers, and gardens. They are explored by wanderers, stone statues hatched to life as children, now seeking solace and hope in the bright places of the ruins, safe from the despair that the darker, more hostile corners may hold. Spirits and demons, hope and despair, exploration and identity, all combined into one beautifully curated 300-plus page rulebook that will serve as your guide into the labyrinth. The Eternal Ruins Kickstarter launches on January 27th, 2026. This month on BackerKit is The Wanderer's Bookshop by Lola Johnson. The Wanderer's Bookshop is a solo journaling bookshop simulator where you collect stories, read books, and find your white whale. It weaves investigation and cozy caretaking through storytelling, journaling, and scrapbooking, guided by tarot cards. It's a slow life game that can be played episodically and allows you to engage with books and journal through your experiences of taking care of a magical bookshop. This BackerKit campaign brings the game to print with exclusive extras. Let's make magic at http://tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks.
Make me a roll. Definitely for gold, definitely for clues. And you said horrified for scares as well.
In this moment of like helping you, it's describing specifically what he saw in the painting so that you, in your magical understanding, which is far more than Urien, because Urien moves on instinct, that it's Lou contemporary clothing. So it's Lou as we know her in a painting that's clearly not the time of when she would be here.
Let's take the 3 in goal and the 4 in clue. No matter what, I take the scare.
The two of you are going to gain the scare panicked. Alix, as you look around, holy shit, all the paintings have people trapped inside of them. Almost every single one. And it's a consistent type of person. Except for Lou. You would be able to place them if you had been paying a little bit more attention. You were distracted by the painting of your mentor. And so these people you just know were visiting the art gallery. They were here today, looking at the paintings, and they all seem to be nicely dressed. And they distinctly each do not have a flyer on them.
She starts muttering at the paintings. She's like, what the fuck did you do? What the fuck are you up to? Lou first. Look at the painting, I'm coming up.
That's all I'm looking at.
Upstairs. Same situation, magical artifacts, paintings, pottery, all having a touch of magic to them, clearly made by witches. All of these are ones that people are trying to get sent back to the original creators, or sort of to, you know, their original home place. Only Lou is trapped in this painting. None of these other ones have people trapped in them.
Who made the painting?
You look down, and it is a local witch, actually, that you would be familiar with, Alix. They are part of a local coven, not one that you are a part of. You know, you've kind of distanced yourself from the covens, ironically, to try to avoid your mentor. But this particular witch, their name is Ania, and they were pretty vocal about that, the fact that they thought people were sort of taking advantage of witches here on Rosewood Beach. How well do you think you would have known this person.
Unless she shows up at the sandbar after hours, it's very likely that Alix would have just avoided her.
How tuned in are you to people's gossip at the sandbar?
She's a bartender. She hears all the shit. So then when she goes and knocks back with the other bartenders afterwards, it's a fucking whisper network. All of them know everything.
You distinctly remember a couple days ago, this person, Mia, had entered with another member of their coven. Somebody brand new that you don't recognize. They were a tattooed witch. They were sort of talking back and forth, having an argument about whether or not they should accept a deal in order to sort of deal with their problem.
Cool. I think she's gonna like reach into one of her pockets and pull out her cigarettes and just like, you see like as her hand goes up to her mouth, it's like shaking and she like puts it and lights it with her hand.
Alix? Alix, darling. I love it. What's going on here? You're more stressed than usual.
Witches, man. Why has it gotta be witches?
Oh, but that means they're just like you. Maybe we can talk it out.
They are not.
Oh, well, it was worth a trial.
Not anymore. And she's gonna go up to the painting that Lou's on, and she's gonna put her hand like right over near where Lou is. All right, listen, just fucking hold on to something. And she's gonna utilize call to try and pull Lou back to this plane.
You have just locked the magic in place with a very powerful spell. It is something which, whether or not it was intentional, definitely called on some more primal magic that you possess. You will need the aid of either a coven of witches, a spirit of the island, or the original artifact, the original magical artifact that was used to cast the spell.
You ever, like, fuck yourself over by being too good?
All the time.
I thought you'd get it. We need to go see the painter. We need to go...
Is that all? Use the original signature to unbind this magic? That seems straightforward.
If we're very lucky, yeah. She's gonna take like another drag and just kind of like, if you can hear me, hun, just like don't go too far. I literally don't know where your reality ends, and don't go in the water. And don't, I know you're trusting, just don't trust anyone, please. You're not in... fuck it, she probably can't hear me anyway.
Lou, your senses in this moment, it's like you're dreaming. But not like you're having a dream. Like you are awake, unable to move. It's like sleep paralysis. And also, everything around you is vibrant, it is beautiful, it is... Everything is painted as brushstrokes. It's like if a brushstroke could be painted in 3D.
I think there's a bit of hyperventilating happening. Probably wide eyes at the paralysis and not being able to move, but just stuck and flooded with fear.
You probably can hear the words that Alix speaks to you as... Alix's magic is the thing that has sort of locked this spell into place. Whether or not you know that.
The plan for the day was to go fix the air conditioning unit. And she doesn't know what happened between that task and now.
Arion and Alix. Right now, your leads are very few. You could contact the coven. You could try to invoke some sort of magic if you were able to find a source of power. Or you could find this original artist. You know that somebody was here. Somebody did invoke magic before they escaped. But that was 5-10 minutes ago now. They ran out the building to sort of actually through the kitchen the same way that you would have come into the building, Alix.
What do you want to do? We need help.
If I remember correctly, this room is full of things that the folks who are campaigning outside are requesting to be returned, which includes this painting. They might know where the artist is if they're campaigning for its return, or at the very least gets us closer to where this witch is.
I think they're local. Don't have to go too far. That's good, I suppose. Stick my head over the balcony. Are the demonstrators still there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Should just walk to the front door. Should have just walked through the front fucking door. Should have just walked through the front fucking door. And she's just like muttering that the whole way down.
Orion is just like skipping behind you, turning on the siren-like charm. And as soon as we're outside, like goes up to one of the demonstrators, probably the one with the clipboard, because they seemed very, very keen to talk to him before. And it's just like, oh, hello, hello, hello. Hi, we just went through this and we agree that these paintings and artifacts ought to be returned. In fact, we might have a connection with one of the artists listed in the painting, and we're just wondering how they're doing right now. Do you know where they're located?
Oh, well, there's several artists that we're petitioning against, that we're petitioning for. They flip the clipboard over to you, and it has that list of everything. It has the painting that Ania made on it. It has sort of that artifact that I told you earlier. It has several more paintings. It has some things that they believe were, like, bought and sold. Some stuff went to the country club. There was, like, a statue that went over to the Pearl Theater.
Gestures Alex over and just like, do you see her name here?
She's gonna, like, with a cigarette in her hand, like, tap Ania's name.
Actually, if you're looking for Ania, they're the one who began the petition. You know, their art was stolen from them right here, and they've been trying to get it back, but they have, they've been blocked by lots of different, honestly, just silly red tape and loopholes. But here, I'll tell you what, sign the petition, and you can meet them at our next meeting.
When is your next meeting?
Pull out a little black book from their pocket, and they, like, flip through it. Like, okay, yes. So we have a meeting. Oh, well, it looks like we have one tonight. And they kind of turn it over to you, and it's a rally at the country club.
Orion wants that information, regardless of whether we're going to it tonight or finding a different way. Orion signs the name of Bobby.
Do you sign?
No, I don't, because Alex is... Enough of her brain has started functioning again that several other pieces are coming into focus. Like the fact that because Orion avoided them, or sort of like just got the flyer on the way in, meant he didn't sign the paper before. And what are the odds that Lou would have just signed something put directly in front of her out of politeness? And finding out that Ania organized all of this to begin with.
As soon as Arian signs, big bright smile, looks over to Alex, very softly, like, touches your wrist and, like, just pulls you in a very, very gay way. The energy I'm exuding is, I am a gay and I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm dragging my friend with me. Come, Alex!
She's gonna keep staring at, like, the list, but if you, like, drag her away, she's not gonna resist you to stay at it. She's just, like, thinking about this in her head. If they don't try and, like, chase her down, she's not gonna try and do it. She'll figure it's like one signature is probably enough.
You're heading over to the rally tonight.
That's the plan. Or as soon as Orion does this, there's a little grumble that he lets out of like, of course the one was this close to seeing Odysseus, and yet Odysseus is in trouble. Calm down. Looks over to Alex and goes, so our only option really that doesn't require us, you know, kicking down a bunch of doors and making you smoke more cigarettes than the one that you're currently holding, is tonight. I don't know if we want to wait that long to save Lou, if I'm being completely honest here.
I agree.
So do you witches have some sort of witches call that you can, like, yell out across a tall precipice? Maybe a magical messaging system? I don't know. Don't look at me like that. The sirens see witches do.
Do you think we're like meerkats or something? Like,
it's a meerkat.
Oh, right. No, you really wouldn't have a comparative, would you?
Here's the thing, though, Alex. Even beneath the waves, the sea witches have a way of contacting one another. Do you not have that? Do you not have a coven that you are in contact with?
I don't know. I mean, okay, you do understand how that thing works, and there are covens that are here. I'm just not in them for reasons. She pulls out another cigarette, just like literally pack out, just like doesn't even like reach into it, just like shakes it towards her mouth and just like pulls it out with her teeth.
Okay, we don't have time to unpack all of this. But can't you, I don't know, do a consultation meeting? Arian starts going off about, like, ancient Greek and, like, sea witch, like, custom about, like, recognizing one another and the sort of, like, in typical Greek mythology, like, talks about, like, trials a witch would have to go through to enter a coven. Maybe you do not need to get to the trial stage. We just need you to...
What?
Express interest. I don't know. Has that custom changed?
When's the last time that you were, like, hanging out with a witch's coven, my guy?
Delphi.
As in like, the age of the Oracle, like, Delphi?
Oh, yes. Oracle is so pleasant. Honestly, undeserved reputation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you still learn about her?
Well, I mean, I did, but that's witch.
Regardless, I still think it's worth contacting them.
No, you're right. You're right. Let's do that. Let's go.
Do you think that you were familiar with them, that you were sort of on good terms with them until you sort of secluded yourself?
I think that Alix's relationship to the covens would have been identifying that they were covens, identifying they were there, being like, ah, okay, you are a coven. And by the time that they recognized her, which wouldn't have taken too long, they're like, come join us. And she'd have been like, pass. And she would have started polite. If they were insistent, she would have gotten more indignant about it until she would have, like, froze them out.
It's an interesting time for the Witches of Rosal Beach right now. You came as their previous sort of coven leader had passed away. And there was several people sort of campaigning to be the coven leader. And so you were probably approached by several different people. And that makes it even stranger that you don't recognize this witch. But you do recognize Anima, who for sure is one of the major voices of the witch community here.
We're going to go see her. I don't know how many people around here, witches or not, like, know your deal. Normal level of discretion, I think, until...
Certainly. Yes. I do not feel like having my scales plucked today, thank you.
As a society, witches have evolved a little bit past that kind of barbaric behavior, but, you know, I will admit that I don't know these covens that well.
Don't get any water splashed on me, we should be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, they're probably going to be resistant if you try and charm them. Not just because of the magic, most of them are also gay.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not discriminating.
I just want to make sure you're forewarned.
Absolutely. That's we Sartans have also come a long way since the ages of yore with the man-eating and everything.
Lucky for you two, it's not far away. You turn, and it's the building across the street. A little old bookstore that hosts the coven of Roseville Beach.
You need a moment?
Huh? No, I'm good. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever, I'm fine. She's on her third cigarette.
Leading up to the building, you can see that the face of it, the sides of this building, have been not restored, but they've been graffitied with really beautiful artwork, honestly. Like, a commissioned graffiti, almost. And it is of a brighter future for Roseville Beach. It depicts one where the community is here for the community, where we are not focused on things that drive us apart.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inside, as the door creaks open, a little bell, almost like lost its shine, lost its ring, its tone from wear and tear, beckons your entrance. But nobody meets you here. In fact, there's like a draft. It's cold in here. People are distinctly absent. There are paintings everywhere, covering every inch of the walls. And they all hold people. In fact, if you have been keeping up with what has been selling from across the street, a lot of this art has been selling, and a lot of this art is from out-of-towners, people who have money, who come in to purchase art they know nothing about. There's a creak from upstairs, and a light that switches on, and a shadow looms over the staircase.
Hello?
There's no response.
Please don't do the creepy thing. I mean, the decor is really doing that for you.
It's like it hasn't been touched in years. Clearly, the upstairs is where the coven meets. This is a functioning bookstore But with the library that opened up a couple years back, this place has been out of touch. In fact, a lot of the books are sort of on the ground, flopped over, pages bent. There's cobwebs building in the bookcases.
Guys, heard of a feather duster? Like, do you want us to come upstairs or something? I really don't have the patience for this today.
You hear like a shuffling of papers as it stops, and the shadow stops moving. The shadow, it extends out of their arm, and it's almost like they're drawing Ariane what you would recognize as a sword.
Ariane immediately steps before Alix. We are not here to threaten or harm. We need not draw blade, friend.
I sense one of you is lying. The witch. You can approach. The other, stay where you are.
What do you mean lying?
You come with bad company, friend. Someone false. Someone who signs things that they know nothing about. As they step out onto the balcony, their sword, a paintbrush, a magic wand. They point down at you, Ariane, and you feel like you've just been locked onto. I need you to roll to resist succumbing to their magical spell. So the way this is going to work is it's going to be goal. It's going to be harm.
I will give the 6 for achieving my goal, 5 for the injured, and the 4 for clues.
The second I like feel that zoning start to come in, Alix is just going to kind of like grip the air a little bit, and there's going to be the same kind of like twisting of the light in the space between. He wasn't lying. He does not mean you harm. Get it together, sister.
As she has pointed this out, she's leapt down the staircase with her paintbrush in hand. And it's like a thick paintbrush, right? It's the kind that you would use to paint massive strokes. And she is painted almost like the air and is attempting to force you back into a blank canvas behind you.
Ariane holds out a hand, and I think a webbed quality appear in his hand from, like, his siren's form, and he holds it out, and he says, "Halt, witch. Thou art mistaken. Ah, indeed, I had tricked thee with regard to my own identity signed upon thy parchment. However, indicating and signing one without greater knowledge of contract, without forethought. A foolish endeavor, no? Dost thou blame I for such a move? But I am not here to harm thee."
Why are you saying thou and thee?
Just so that we're on the same page, my dear.
Okay.
Lou, the moment that the magic has been invoked again, you have been unfrozen, and you can start to move. You look around you, and to your left and right, if you can get there, You can actually see beyond the painting. On one side is the gallery, and just to your left is Alix and Ariane. You can't get out of the painting on your own sort of ability, but you can see where the other location is. In fact, you can travel to the other painting.
And I've been able to hear previously what they were saying to me, and Alix specifically said, "Don't move." So I think Lou looks around, sees the shift that has happened, and goes, "Okay, I've got my orders. I guess I'll stay right here." Oh, I don't know if I can stay right here. I think her muscles have felt super tense from that paralyzing, and they start to kind of like loosen. She's an antsy person. Her body is kind of looking for the next thing to do at this point. And she twists and turns on the spot and then goes, "Okay, I guess it is better to ask for forgiveness than permission." And Lou's going to take off towards the new scene.
If you were looking down a hallway and it has partitions, you are jumping through painting to painting. And you come to the realization that all of them have to be opened for any of them to be opened. You pass out of yours, you pass into one that's sort of depicting like a lighthouse, you pass into one that's depicting, it's like an abstract one and all the scene shift is. You jump into one that shows a very beautiful young woman, the distinct smile. You jump into the painting in the bookstore. And what you see is your two friends being confronted by this witch. The camera, like, phases through, and there's, like, a distortion as we zoom into the room. And this woman has not heard anything you've said, Arya. Her eyes are glazed over with this fierce determination. And you see that everything that she paints, the swipe in the air, it struck the canvas behind it. And it's left this shadow of a figure on it. She swipes again and strikes the floorboards, leaving this shadow of a figure.
Like, lowers himself, like, assuming something's coming in his direction, and, like, tries to, like, dodge out of the way and looks over to Alex. Alex, my dear, it seems that, she's not willing to listen.
Okay, we tried it the nice way.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep it simple. She's channeling. I'm calling her Juan to me.
Normally, magic risks scares, but I promised you I wasn't gonna do that. So, injury and goal, and that's it.
Can I use my strength to try to help the wand?
Is it like a manifestation of your strength on the wand?
I think so, yes.
5 for magic, 4 for the others. I think she's gonna like twist her hand in the air like she did when she locked the first attack in sort of like place from hitting Arian. There is a bending of the light again, and as it bends and stretches, instead of her own arm going forward, it's actually Luz that like reaches out and wraps their hands around it and yanks it.
Yanks it out of their hand, and the witch, she bends the light around it. She bends and warps your own spell and sort of captures it in this moment. And in our real world, it paints in three-dimensional oil painting. And it is locked between you and her in the middle of the air.
We could not do this. That would be preferable. I'm having a real shit day, and I really just want to talk to you.
But I have to.
What do you mean you have to?
I have to.
No, you don't.
I have to.
Why?
The people of Roseville Beach deserve better.
Then what?
And she lunges forward. She actually lets go of the spell. The wand snaps to your hand, grabs a palette knife from her toolkit, and she sort of like pins you to the ground as you are now the one who is stopping her from her goal. And she has put this palette knife to your throat. You have the wand in your hand. This is incredible. This is like on the level of your mentor. This power that she's been wielding is far beyond the covens.
The throat? Been there, done that. So buy me dinner first next time. And I'm going to take her paintbrush wand, and I think I'm going to channel through it and use that to just send the knife into the paint world.
Yeah, roll magic for this.
I'm augmenting the water from all the paints onto the brush so your power's augmented.
I'm going to use Bane on this one. So I don't lose control of my magic. 4 and 4. So no injury, but mixed success again.
As you channel your magic through this, right, it is so powerful. You don't lose control of it. It almost is like it chains off of itself. And the spell is reflected in extraordinary power. And you push up off of the knife, it and Arya are thrown into the art world. Into the painting that she attempted to put Arian in. As a consequence, the paintbrush shatters. And almost like passing one and the other, it releases everyone from the pictures, having only Anya there. Lou, you are now in this scene, as you have stepped out of the art world, you can feel everything. The world is like blinding for a moment, and as it focuses back into reality, you see the shapes and the colors hone back in.
Holy shit!
Oh my god, you're back!
You guys have looked better.
Don't look at me. Arian looks over to Alex, who's still on the ground, and like holds out his hands.
I need a little more floor time, thank you.
No, That's all right.
I just want to say that before I met either of you, I never got locked inside of a painting.
You sure?
I'm so sorry that the events of our meeting led to this. It's good to see that you're okay.
It was like getting hard to breathe in there, but I don't know if that was the painting or me, and it might have been a mix of both.
What the fuck?
The painting that Ania has been placed in. Alix and Arian, this is a manifestation of your magic together. Please describe what you have painted.
It's watercolor. The amount of water that Arian had fueled into your brush made the consistency of the paint like watercolor, like gouache, more like. There's a level of isolation to the piece. Like, the broad strokes are that Anita is placed in a intimate yet isolated place with these sort of bright pastel colors. It's dreamlike in a sense, ethereal.
I think she didn't mean to do it. Like, her intention was not to throw her in there, but just to stop her from doing it by throwing her implement in there. So I think when it came down to detail, she was just going to put a little, just on a table, just this little stool was just going to have this brush on it when she was painting it in her head. And so now there's just this little stool in this sort of empty space in the center of this and the shattered pieces of a brush in there.
Do you take the painting with you? Or do you leave it here?
Oh, we can't fucking leave this here.
I didn't think so. We have too much unexplained, don't we? And Arian looks to Lou. I know you've just gone through a difficult experience with the painting, and this is the person that did it, but I would like to know what's going on.
So you're going back in the painting? I'm taking the painting off the wall and we're carrying it with us? And Lou yanks it off of the wall. And puts it under her arm.
Thank you, my favorite lesbian.
Hi-ho.
Excuse you?
What? It's a tie between the both of you.
I'll remember that.
I feel like I have paint all over my body, by the way, and I would like to take a bath or actually a shower.
Yeah, y'all head home. I need to check something real quick. I'll be right there.
Don't get stuck in a painting.
Couldn't say it better than myself.
I'm probably good on that front. Alix is going back to the coffee shop. You said that everyone who was locked in the paintings was pulled out. I'm going to the portrait. Is Estelle still the subject of the portrait?
There is no paint on that canvas.
You see her just rub her neck, and you can actually see now, because I think that sharp blade was at that choker, it's not in the same place, and so you can see there is a thin, straight scar right across her throat underneath the choker.
And Lou, to close us out, I want to know where the painting goes in the beach house. Is it hung? Is it presented? Is it left in the attic? Is it covered?
Lou comes into the beach house and she opens that secret door into their quote-unquote war room scenario with all of their investigative stuff and their mysteries they've been in or have taken care of. And she puts it in there. She shuts the door on it. This series stars Alexander Christopher as the Game Master, Valiant Dorian as Arian, Dan Pixel as Alix Cho, and Kenzie Tartaglioni as Lou Wells. If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord, and make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more. The first Queer Call of the season is here. This is where we thank our wonderful patrons for their support. We could not make the show without you. So here's to Burke, Janine Florence Jacinto, Cheryl, Guggy, La La West, Riley Manessa, Lisa Ray Bowman, Sky Ray, Jordan Vandeveer, Alex Weeks, David Grezik, and Brooke Fizakerly. We also have a lot of members in our free tier. We see you, we love you, thanks for hanging out.